Hello, developers, and welcome to the PHP Architect Community Corner, where we have conversations with members of the web development community. I'm your host, Scott Keck-Warren, and today we're talking with Larry Garfield about his work with the PHP Fig group and some of the other interesting things that are going on, including his talks at PHP Tech 2026. Larry Garfield is an aspiring blacksmith who moonlights as a PHP developer and community nudge. When not trying to hand forge his own medieval armor from scratch, he tries to teach developers and development management the skills of yesterday, which the industry has forgotten. He is the author of several books, including Thinking Functionally in PHP and Exploring PHP 8.0. Thank you, Larry, for finding some time to talk to us today. So we were kind of hoping to talk to you about the PHP Framework Interop group and kind of what that is and what that does for the community.
Let's do it. So the PHP Framework Interoperability group, which nobody refers to it as that. They just say the FIG or PHP FIG. I sometimes joke that it's the United Nations of PHP with all the good and bad implications that has. FIG began actually at PHP Tech years and years and years ago, when just after PHP 5.3 came out, or when it was about to come out, a number of project leaders were at Tech and decided, you know what, we've got this new namespaces thing coming out. We should probably all try to use it the same way. So let's figure out what that way is. And they decided to start calling their semi-formal group the PHP Standards Group, and put out PSR0, as in PHP Standard Recommendation, similar to like JSR for Java, that kind of thing. That was a definition of how autoloading should work for PHP 5.3 applications. And they announced this on the PHP internals list. Some of them who had access set up a mailing list on the PHP mail server. And a lot of people pushed back and said, wait, who died and made you king? And so they quickly migrated off of any official infrastructure. And after some back and forth and discussion, set up something of a structure, and eventually renamed itself to Framework Interoperability Group to make it not sound so official, because FIG is a voluntary organization. It has no power or authority. You know, we can't force changes on the project. We can't force changes on PHP projects. But projects can join as members and then help populate the core committee and working groups. It's just how it's gone through a number of different iterations for how it's structured, but that's the current setup. The idea is there are some topics where there's a benefit to everyone doing something the same way. Whatever that way is, the fact that everyone is doing it the same way is more important than the specific way. So let's have a place and a process where we can agree on what those ways are. For example, autoloading. You don't think about autoloading when you're writing PHP these days. That's because you structure your code in the way specified by PSR0, or these days usually PSR4, which is the updated version of that. And then Composer recognizes that, and so you just don't think about autoloading anymore. It is a solved problem because everyone is following the same pattern for how to organize files that the FIG laid out, and so everything just kind of magically works. That's the benefit of FIG. Another common example is logging. Basically, every logger these days that anyone uses follows the PSR3 logger standard, the logger interface. It's fairly basic. It doesn't do anything really exciting other than everyone's following it. So if you have code, you type hint or type declare, hey, I need a logger interface object here. Great. That's the interface you need to follow. And then you get all the benefits of interfaces from whoever's publishing your logger. So if I'm writing a library, I can just say, I want to be able to log here. So I'll depend on logger interface. And I don't care what logger you're using. Yeah, that's if you're plugging into Symfony, use Monolog. If you're plugging into Drupal, use their logger. If you're plugging into Laravel, use whatever they're doing. Write your own logger. Write a custom one for testing. I don't care. That just ceases to be my problem. That's the place. That's the kind of place where having these common standards is really beneficial. And there's a number of PSRs, standards that we've developed over the years that tackle different areas. Most of them are fairly widely used, even if you don't realize it. Some are less used, but all of them are reasonably robust. And we can talk a bit more about some of those in detail if you want.
Yeah,
we've also recently added the idea of PERs, or PERs, as we call them. That's a PHP evolving recommendation. So one of the challenges that we came across over time was that PSRs are a frozen moment in time, which is good, because then you know it's not going to change out from under you. There's some asterisks on that, but that's the idea. But for some things like, say, coding standards, you do want that to change over time as new features get added to the language, but you don't want to have to reapprove the entire thing. So now we have evolving recommendations as well that are have similar releases like anything else. So right now we're up to per CS, it's a coding style guidelines, version 3. You may have heard PSR 2, PSR 12 in the past. It's the updated version of that, essentially. And we're going to come out with a 3.1 release sometime in the next few weeks, few months, covering some of the new features in PHP 8.5. There's another one on attributes, like what are some common, fairly universal attributes that would be beneficial if everyone could just have the same metadata mechanism. And that's a working group that's in development right now, hasn't made a release yet, but we're working on it. So that's kind of the two main things that Fig works on are point-in-time frozen specs and evolving recommendations.
Yeah, and so there's a kind of like a lot to unpack in all of that. And I think like, so
let's brain dump, so you know, we can go wherever you want from here.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. So I think the important piece that like I always think about with the PSR standards and the PR, I'm sorry, P the PERS, the PERS and the
PERS. Per,
okay. Is it like, it does unlock so much power like within the community, right? Because like you were saying, like, well, we have an auto loading standard. And so that means like, you know, so I'll use Monolog as like the example, right? Like Monolog can be used anywhere because like they just are adhering to the auto loading standards. So we don't have to have like, they don't have their own auto loader, which was a problem at one point. You know, I mean, like there were, every project had their own auto loader. Instead now it's just like Composer does all of that for us essentially. And then they also have like
the auto loader that was used by earlier versions of Drupal. And I'm very happy to have killed it off and replaced it with a standard that just makes everything easier.
Yes. I remember times when we would be like, we'd have just like 100 require onces in a file because there wasn't like a good auto loader at all. And we'd have to like maintain that across like, I don't know, dozens and dozens of files. It was always insanity. But we get that nice benefit of like Monolog is using the standard for loggers. And so like we can just kind of like any other package that I kind of pull in that's also using that standard, instead of like me, you know, logging to a file every time, I can log into like my custom logger, which is always like, you know, that's my favorite part. It's like, well, we have this new library and it's like, well, they already support the logger. So we just tell them where to log the data to and it goes right into our system.
Exactly.
So which is always very helpful.
You know, that question of how do I bridge these things together? It just goes away. The bridge is, oh, this interface published by Fig. Done.
Yeah. And then, so how does it work? Like, so like somebody comes along and they're like, well, we have a problem and we need like a better standard for, the example that is like the caching, right? So there's like PSR for caching. Somebody comes along and says like, everybody's doing something different. We should try to like simplify this essentially so that all the libraries are easier to work with. So how does that get recommended? And then what is the process for actually getting that kind of like, and I'm going to put it in air quotes, implemented with the community?
So there's the process has evolved over the years. So I'm just going to talk about the way things work today.
Great.
So there's an elected core committee. So we have project representatives who don't actually have much to do. Then we have the elected core committee, which is a group of 12 people who oversee the activities of Fig, which is a fairly light job, frankly. But someone comes up and says, hey, I'd like to put together a working group to work on caching, a promise spec, the clock standard, whatever it is, translation. And the core committee says, okay, cool, put together a kind of a plan, not the implementation, not the design, but a here's the problem we want to solve, and get the relevant people in the room willing to work on it. So I'm a big believer that we should not have specs that are developed by just some random person who thinks it'd be good to have a spec on this. If we're doing a spec on caching, we already have that, but let's say, then I want to know, okay, who are the major caching libraries? Are they on board with having a spec? Are they willing to follow it? Are they interested in being involved in developing it? And I want to hear a yes to all of those things. If this is, oh, I just want to make an interface because I think it'd be cool, and all of the people who would be implementing that interface say, meh, that doesn't really justify the effort. So, you know, in some cases, people will still adopt it anyway, but I'd much rather say, all right, have everyone at the table who needs to be at the table. And once you have a working group, which means five people at least, including one person who's a member of the core committee who is the sponsor, the other four can be literally anyone in the world, then the core committee votes and says, okay, working group, you're chartered, go do your thing. You've got PSR 25, or whatever the next number is, and do your thing. And then that working group can do its thing pretty much however it feels like. We have a Discord that we encourage people to use, but you know, if they work better, you know, meeting up at a hotel somewhere, cool. If they work better over Zoom meetings every week, cool. It's very open-ended. But the end result is, all right, we've experimented, we've thought this through, we've talked to people who are relevant in this space, and here's our recommendation for this, whatever it is. Could be an interface, it could be a file directory structure, it could be whatever it's going to be. And then the working group has to vote to approve that draft. Then the core committee looks at it and waits for people to actually start implementing it. We don't need complete implementations. It's not like IETF where you need to have two full deployed implementations before they can standardize it. We just want to say, all right, someone has actually tried building this thing to prove that it works. And once we've got proof that it works and the spec, the core committee can vote to approve it. If it's approved, cool. We get a stamp on it. It's frozen in time. Here's the TSR25 document on whatever it is. If there's code that goes with it, like an interface, then there's usually a composer package that gets published as well. So you can now just depend on PSR translation or whatever it's going to be. And great, now you've got your interfaces or whatever else it is. Like the attributes one, it's actually fig/attributes, I believe. And so whatever attribute definitions that working group publishes will be in there, and you just get them. So that's kind of the process. It's a very open process by design, but it is based around the idea that not all opinions are equal. The opinions of people who know this particular domain space are more important than general public, and opinions of people who are keeping an eye on general good architectural design, that's the core committee, matter more. So if you're just some random Joe developer, we do want to hear your opinion. We do want to hear your input. We want to hear your use cases. But the people who are most important are the people who are experts in that domain. So people who work on translation libraries should be doing translation. People who work on async stuff should be doing a promises spec. People who work on container implementations should be involved in developing the container, and so on and so on. So that's kind of what we want to have.
Yeah, and I think that like makes sense from like my perspective. As someone who's just a consumer of these, right? I just consume the PSR things. I'm always happy, like, I'm always glad to know that somebody who knows what they're doing is involved in this, and it's not some, there's not some corporate person involved that, like, they're like, well, we need to have, this in there for our customers. It sounds like it's a really good structure to have experts deciding, and then eventually, like, that will roll out across the community, essentially.
Yeah. Now, you say you don't want corporate. We're okay with someone who's employed working on this, and sometimes people from larger projects still make that kind of statement. For example, one of the considerations for PSR 14, which was the event dispatcher specification, I was the editor on that one, was we wanted to be a graceful upgrade from existing event systems. The most widely used is Symfony's event dispatcher. So one of our considerations was, is this going to be, you know, this doesn't have to be the same as Symfony event dispatcher, even if Symfony wanted it to be, and they did want it to be, but is it something that Symfony can transition to effectively? And that is a factor to consider. It is not the most important factor, but it is an important factor. And so that's kind of part of the balancing act is, you know, we want to honor and respect the existing work in the space because that's what people are already doing. That's what's been shown to work. But we also don't want to say, we don't want to be backward looking and say, well, people are doing it this way. There are better ways, but we're just going to go with that way. And balancing that is sometimes a challenge, especially when there are large projects like Symfony or Laravel involved who have opinions on that and obviously have a different bias than other people would. So it's, there's in anything else, you know, like in anything else, there's politics involved, there's human diplomacy involved. Design is a human endeavor, not just a technical endeavor.
Yeah, and I especially like we're a Laravel shop, and like there's pieces of like the PSR things that they're doing, but then there's pieces of it that they don't necessarily follow because it's obviously like it's not, you know, it's a voluntary thing, right? Like it's not like, well, we have to do this, and there's like, you know, so like I know that like when we there's just like random pieces that just don't quite work with like the PSR 12 standard of the coding standard that exists right now. It just like doesn't quite match up with that. So that's always an interesting piece to me as well, as it's like it's not always like 100% followed for some of these things.
Yeah, because there's no way for us to force it, and you know it'd be stupid for us to try.
Right, and I don't think anybody wants that. Right, like yeah, I don't think anybody ever goes like we should be forcing these down people. Yeah,
you're not allowed to write a logger unless it follows this interface. That's stupid.
Yeah,
yeah, we don't want to do that. No one wants that, but. Hey, if you follow this logger, it'll work with 10,000 projects that are out there already. Okay, cool. That's a good selling pitch. You know, Laravel is an interesting case. They largely don't care about PSR specifications. They don't care about the figs work, but incidentally end up following some. Like, they follow PSR3 because they use Monolog. And I'm pretty sure their container follows PSR11 because it's trivial to follow PSR11, the container interface. But like they don't follow, you know, their event system does not follow the PSR14 event dispatcher, for better or worse. Personally, I think worse, but that's a subjective statement.
Yeah, but I'm not going to take any stance on it.
Most of them, except for the HTTP ones, because they have their own HTTP stack and don't feel like migrating.
Yeah, which understandable, right? Yeah. So there is one PSR that I really, really want to ask you about, and that's PSR 12, PSR 8, which is the huggable interface. Can you explain to me a little bit about where that came from?
So PSR 8 was my doing. It was an April Fool's joke a decade ago, maybe more. I don't know, a long time ago. But the PHP community is a very friendly place. PHP developers are friendly people, and at conferences, we tend to be huggy. You know, different communities are different ways about that. Like, Symfony is very much not huggy. It's a French thing. But PHP in general tends to be a very huggy community. So, as an April Fool's joke, you know, like, the IETF publishes April Fool's RFCs every so often. Like, you know, IP over avian carrier, that kind of thing. Or the coffee pot 418.
Mm-hmm.
So, we put out PSR 8, which was a huggable interface for objects to indicate that they are huggable and it's okay to hug them. And so it's just kind of become a running joke, running meme in the community that if you're friendly, you know, if you're open to being hugged by people at a conference, you are PSR 8 compatible. I'm not aware of any code that actually follows PSR 8, but most PHP developers follow PSR 8. In practice.
So to work on that joke, I included that in one of my slides one time where I did implement the huggable interface in the class.
Nice.
nobody laughed at it. I was like, I had to scrap that joke. I was like, nobody laughed. It wasn't funny. I guess it's too niche to kind of go through. Yeah, but I have thought about making a t-shirt.
Been a while.
Yeah, I thought a t-shirt would be great.
These days with fewer events for people to go to, some of the old jokes have just kind of faded, except for the core people. But we need to bring them back because, you know, physical affection is an important part of community building.
Yeah, absolutely. So and so my last question about like the fig for today is about those that purr. Like, so we have a purr, which sounds really weird to say out loud now that I say it a couple times, about, and it's kind of like a developing standard. And so like how does somebody decide, okay, well, we've like moved on and we need to like advance that standard just a tiny bit? Like what is the process for that? Is it similar to the purr like working group process, or is it slightly different?
So the PER working group is a bit different than a PSR working group. I know the names look better in text than in verbal. So for a PER working group, sometimes you need 3 people, sometimes you need 5 people as a minimum, and you have an editor. And that is just a standing working group. It can evolve over time. People can swap in and out. But that working group is kind of ongoing. And as things develop, like I'm currently the editor for the PER-CS working group for coding standards. I am the 3rd editor since that working group was chartered. That's fine. And when a new version of PHP is coming out, we start talking internally. Okay, do we want to say anything about the pipe operator? Do we want to say anything about the the way you should format clone with? Or do we want to say anything about... we've deprecated this particular, PHP is deprecating this particular obscure syntax for switch statements that most of us didn't even know were there. Should we do anything in response to that? Maybe yes, maybe no. These are the discussions that we're actually having right now on GitHub for what will become PER-CS 3.1 eventually. And in some cases, the answer is there's nothing for us to do here. Like, oh, this new class was added, I don't care. In others, there's a lot of things for us to talk about, like how should you structure your attributes? Should you put them in all one line? Should you split it across multiple lines? When should you split it across multiple lines? When should you break, put 2 attributes on the same same brackets or use different brackets and so on? And so that was a lot of the discussion around, okay, what's the best way to do this? What feels right to people who are already doing it, so we can get some information there, what is consistent with the rest of the coding standards, and that kind of thing. So it's that one is in particular is especially subjective, other than try to be consistent with everything else. So for example, anytime you're breaking something up into multiple lines that has commas in it, you have a trailing comma. That is consistent across all situations, whether it's a function call, a function definition, an attribute, an array, you have a trailing comma if you're breaking it to multiple lines. And you do not have a trailing comma if it's on a single line. That's consistent across the whole spec. So we try to make sure everything else that adds commas follows that same rule. That's as an example. But then eventually we'll answer these questions for CS 3.1. And as the editor, I'll say, okay, cool, we're done. Call a vote internally for the working group. And the working group has to vote to say yes. We're happy with where this ended up. Then if it's a minor release, then as the editor, I can inform the mailing list, hey, we're about to put out 3.1. If anyone on the core committee wants, we can call a core committee vote on it to approve it. If not, we'll just go. So silence is approval in this case. And if someone wants, the core committee can say, hey, we do want to vote on this. We have some questions. That's fine. If it's a major release, backward compatible change of some kind, then the core committee has to vote on it before it's approved. So that's the process for updating a PER. And for coding standards, we generally do stuff each time there's a new PHP release. For attributes, we're still talking kind of ad hoc. It'll happen when it happens. There's no timeline that it's bound to. So it'll do what it does.
Yeah. I always find it like, I have this conversation with people about whether or not they should build their own coding standard or they should use an existing one. And like, you have those core like disagreements with people about like, is it tabs or spaces? But then like you get into like those terrible, like, and once you get past that, right? Like that's a hard, that can be like a hard decision, but then you end up in the land of like, well, are there always commas at the end of the line? You know what I mean? Like those are like those nitty gritty, like nonsensical, like you there's just so many decisions that you have to make when you build up a standard. You're just always better off picking one and then just like adding on extra stuff to it.
Like we were saying before, the advantage of especially coding standard is not what's in it, it's that everyone's following it. Most code in PHP, with a few notable exceptions, looks more or less like per CS. Certain projects may have slight variation, but you know, if you download something with Composer and you look at its code in your vendor directory and then you look at the code in your own project, if you're following per CS or something close to it, it's going to be familiar. It's going to look the same. If you're following two completely different standards, then you have to brain shift between, okay, here we're using tabs, here we're using spaces, I need to configure my editor for that. I have trailing commas here, but not over here. Four spaces here, two spaces here, and it's just harder to work with. The fact that it's consistent is more important than what it is. There's parts of per CS I really dislike. Like the classes and functions have their opening curly brace on the next line. I've always thought that was stupid. Back in the day, I voted against PSR2 because of that. Because that's inconsistent with the rest of the spec. But I can still go to any project, open it, and see, oh, they've got their curly braces in the same place as everything else, whatever. I can deal with that. So, that the fact that I know where it goes and it's consistent is more important than exactly what the decision was. I would say if you want to follow coding standards, you can do it manually, but the much better way is use a code formatting tool, PHP CS Fixer, Code or PHP CS Code Sniffer, excuse me, the two big ones. Configure your IDE to follow it, and if you want to tweak it slightly, go ahead. But if you're following like 90%, 95% per CS, and maybe with a tweak or two on something, then you're still getting 98% of the benefit of it, and if you have an automatic formatter, that means, hey, anyone committing to your project who doesn't quite follow it correctly, they can just run the formatter and it ends up in the same format and you don't have to argue about that anymore. So that's the real advantage there. Just like in Go, one of the biggest, most important things that Go did was say, hey, the language itself ships with a code formatter. This is the code format. Stop arguing. Whether you like their format or not, that means that Go developers never have to argue about that. There is the way it's done. With PHP, we can argue, we love to argue, but if you just follow, if you set up a code enforcer that follows PFR or per CS, maybe with an asterisk, then you eliminate 98% of those discussions and you can get on with life and get your code done and go to the bar. So that's really the win there.
Yeah. And what we do, my preference is like, we use PSR12 as the base because that was the thing when we decided. And then like, we essentially just add in additional rules. Like we have we force types, we force declare script. And then every piece of our infrastructure enforces to make sure that like all those standards are followed. So like, you can't create a new commit without passing the validation, and you can't merge a commit without it passing the validation. So that's always like, those are the gatekeepers for us.
That's the right way to do it. Whatever those specific rules are going to be, like per CS does not require that you do everything in declare strict, but if you for your project want to do that, have fun. That's not a problem. And if you wanted in your project to configure PHP CS Fixer to say, hey, I never want to have more than one attribute in one set of brackets, you can do that. That is still legal under per CS. It's not required to do it that way, but if on your project you want to do that, cool. You have fun with that. That's fine. And then the automated scripts can enforce that on your project. That's completely reasonable. Have fun with it.
Yeah. So I do have to draw this to a close. Are there ways that like people in the community can help support the FIG? Is there some way that like, do you guys need money or do you need support or how is it the best way the community can support you all?
Probably the most important thing is get involved. If there's, a spec in development that you care about, that you have expertise in, join us. We want your expertise. If you think there is, some problem space that would benefit from having a standard, whether it's an interface or something else, there was a discussion at one point about should we, have a standard config directory so that we don't have PHP unit and CS Fixer and PHP Stan all doing config files in a different way, different naming schemes, some with a dot before. Maybe it makes sense, maybe it doesn't. Okay. Talk to those people, talk to the maintainers of those projects, say, hey, could we put together a standard for this? If they're on board, come to us, put together that standard, put together a working group and let's do that. But don't just come up with the idea and say, hey, we should do X and develop it. Say, hey, I want to get a consensus on, I want to collaborate on whatever it is. And that's really the way to do it. We have a mailing list that is very low traffic. We have a Discord, which is where most of the discussion happens these days. It is open to the public. There's a link on the FIG website, php-fig.org. Come join us, get in the conversation, and stick with it. We have a lot of people who show up and then wander off after 3 days, like most projects do. So get involved and stay involved. This is our community. Let's push it forward. It's our ecosystem. Yeah,
absolutely. And we'll be right back with Larry after this word from our sponsors. Production monitoring can be complicated. There are tons of tools and techniques, but you just want to know that your app is up and your users are happy. Your customers encounter a problem, they need clear, actionable intelligence, not walls of charts and reams of logs. That's why they built Honey Badger, the monitoring tool you've always wanted. A tool that's there when you need it and gets out of your way when you don't. With Honey Badger, you'll know when critical errors occur, which customers are affected, respond instantly when your systems go down, improve the health of your systems over time, and fix problems before your customers can even report them. And I can account to that. That is true. Honey Badger is the application health monitoring tool built for you, the developer who cares about quality product and happy customers. Start monitoring today at honeybadger.io. It's free to get started and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Are there any conferences that you're going to be speaking at or anything that you want to direct our listeners to before we let you go for today?
So I am going to be speaking at PHP Tech next year. I have 2 sessions. One is on advanced PHP unit. It's basically, all right, PHP unit, you're using PHP unit. What are some of the features you don't know are in PHP unit? Or what are some quirks and tricks and weird ways of working with PHP unit that make things fancier? This is largely a collection of stuff I do with my tests that I think is cool. That's essentially that talk. The other one is called Piping Hot PHP. It's going to be, I think, the first talk on PHP 8.6. Because we're talking about the new pipe operator, which is an 8.5, and the partial function application RFC, which just passed today for 8.6. And I'm hoping that by then we can also talk about one or two other RFCs that make PHP a functional friendly language. So PHP, was started procedural, shifted to support object-oriented as well. It's now shifting to support functional as well, too. So we'll have all three available to us to mix and match. And I'll be talking about, what are these new tools that are literally bleeding edge on, maybe not literally bleeding edge, but are bleeding edge in PHP that will let us write code in new ways that you may not have thought about before, you may not have thought made sense, but now that we have the tools, they make sense. So, it's a taste of what 8.6 is going to give us, essentially.
Yeah, that both of those sound really interesting. They're both on my list of, assuming that I'm not speaking the same time that you're speaking, I think those are both on my must-go to. Yes, it's always a challenge. But I do appreciate you both like all of your time that you give to the community. You're an amazing member of the community. I really appreciate like you created the pipe. You're one of the pipe operator authors. You're dealing with this, all this stuff. You're a speaker. I really do appreciate all of your time, like both here and normally. So thank you for all of that.
The PHP community is a special place. It's wonderful people, good technology, good vibes. So yeah, I'm happy to help support and expand this community because it's just worth that effort.
Yeah. Thank you again. Heartfelt thank you to Larry for all of his time as well as for you for listening. If you're not a subscriber, make sure you subscribe with whatever your preferred method is so you can get episodes as soon as they're released, and maybe leave us a comment or a review as it does help others find us. This podcast is available both as an audio version on the PHP Architect website as well as a video version on our YouTube channel. This is Scott Keck-Warren for the PHP Architect Pioneer signing off and reminding you to keep listening, keep coding, and keep